So we're on Isaiah chapter 13 now, and if you'll open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 13, we'll take a look at it in our series through Isaiah chapter by chapter. Now, chapter 13 of Isaiah starts a whole new section of the book of Isaiah. From chapter 1 up to chapter 12, the focus has been primarily on the people of Israel, also in connection with their relationship with Assyria, the kingdom of Assyria as a backdrop. But now the focus will be upon Babylon, and not only Babylon. This section starts in chapter 13, but runs right to chapter 27, and is dealing with a series of burdens or oracles that Isaiah was given from the Lord in connection with the nations. So it's prophecies about God's dealing with the nations. And what we have to keep in mind, too, though, these are just not any nations. There's lots of nations in the world. There were a lot of nations in the day of Isaiah as well. But it focuses on these particular nations because of their relationship with Israel. In some way or another, each of these nations have had a relationship with Israel. Therefore, they're brought before us. And it's God's prophecy. It's God's judgment upon the nations. Now, in chapter 1 to chapter 12, he deals with Israel and their moral state. We saw that in the early chapters of Isaiah. The whole head was sick, the heart was sick, and so on, unclean people and so on, and that they would be brought into like a spiritual blindness. We get this in Isaiah chapter 6. So, and this is a principle, and the Apostle Peter speaks of it in his epistle, chapter 3, that judgment, or I believe it's chapter 4 actually, that judgment must begin first at the house of God. So judgment begins at the house of God, with the people of God, and then to others. And so so chapter 1 to chapter 12 deals with Israel. Now chapter 13 to 27 is the nations. And actually there's about 10 burdens, and I'll just list them quickly to you. The first one is the burden of Babylon, the second is Palestina, the third is Moab, the fourth is Damascus, the fifth is Ethiopia and Egypt. They're brought together under one burden. The sixth again is Babylon. Babylon is taken up again. The seventh is Duma. The eighth is Arabia. The ninth is Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, because it's seen connected with the nations. That is, it's just as sinful as the nations. It's considered as the nations there in that chapter. And then chapter 10, Tyre. So that actually brings us to chapter 23 of Isaiah. Chapter 13 to 23 has these 10 burdens. But then chapter 24 and to chapter 27 even goes further, not just those particular nations that are connected with Israel, but the whole world. And so we get this in chapter 24 and chapter 25, that the world itself will reel to and fro as a drunkard, and will topple as a shack or as a cottage. So it's the day of the Lord. That's what we're dealing with here, is the day of the Lord, the judgment of the Lord, and this whole section, chapter 13 to 27. And if we want to look at that in chapter 27, we see that the conclusion is that after the judgment of the nations, we get the blessing to Israel. And we see that in chapter 27, verse 6. He shall cause them, that is Israel, them that come out of Jacob, you see it's the people of Israel, to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. But that's after the judgment of the nations and the great tribulation. So that's sort of just sort of the backdrop to these prophecies. But when we look at chapter 13, we see verse 1, it says, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. So this judgment first is on the Babylon of Isaiah, I should say, not of Isaiah's day, but of that time period, which would follow Isaiah. Because the kingdom that was in power when Isaiah prophesied was the kingdom of Assyria, the great Gentile kingdom was the kingdom of Assyria. So, but he's looking at the burden of Babylon, the judgment that will come on the original Babylon, is what I'm trying to say. But it too is prophecy, because Babylon didn't exist as an empire, as a great power when Isaiah prophesied. And we want to notice this in verse 1, because it says, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. You know, these liberal critics, they say it's another Isaiah, it's an Isaiah that lived in the time of the Babylonian kingdom, because the judgment that came upon Babylon was 175 years after Isaiah prophesied it. So it's future, it's prophecy. The prophecy came in 713 BC from Isaiah, the son of Amos, and the fall of Babylon was in 538 BC, which was 175 years later. So we see from this that it's prophecy. But the Babylon that he's speaking of here is not the initially, not the future Babylon that is yet to come, the prophetic Babylon that's still ahead, but the Babylon of his day. But he uses the Babylon of his day and its judgment and the destruction that comes upon it as a picture of the end times world system that will come under the judgment of God. Now, I want to just jump into that and try to explain that and fill that out a little more. But let's just first of all see that it was the Babylon of ancient times that Isaiah was prophesying about initially. And so if you drop down to verse 17, we read these words, "Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver. As for gold, they shall not delight in it." So this is the kingdom of the Medes. And you'll know from history and also from Daniel's prophecies that the kingdom that followed the kingdom of Babylon was the Medo-Persian kingdom, the Medes and the Persians. Now, the Medo-Persian kingdom, the Medes were the smaller part, the Persians were the greater part, but the Medes were the first part. It was first the Medes and then the Persians sort of overtook the Medo-Persian kingdom as to be the predominant people group or power within that empire, within that kingdom. But it was first the Medes. And we read in Daniel chapter 5, you'll remember that, the story of Belshazzar and his impious feast, you know, when he took the cups and the goblets that were taken from the house of Jerusalem when Nebuchadnezzar had conquered Jerusalem. He had taken the silver and gold cups up and dedicated it to the gods of Babylon. And so Belshazzar has his drunken feast, praises his gods of gold and silver. He's drinking from these cups, but his kingdom is weighed in the balances and found wanting. You remember the story, the right handwriting on the wall, and the kingdom actually fell that night. Now, historically, we know that the Medes were outside Babylon, the very walls of Babylon, as Belshazzar was having his feast, his drunken feast. And they dried up the river, they diverted the river that went into Babylon, and then they snuck under the city walls through the riverbed, the Medes, that is, and they took it. It was Darius the Mede. And so this is exactly what's prophesied here. In chapter 13, verse 17, "Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them." So it's a judgment upon the Babylon, upon ancient Babylon. But the spirit of prophecy is here, and chapter 13 is also speaking about the day of the Lord. Now look at verse 9, and it's really important if you can get a hold of this, because if you can understand this point that I'm about to make, then you'll really have a key to understanding Old Testament prophecy. A lot of people miss this. So look at verse 9, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." Okay, so it's the day of the Lord. But the day of the Lord is a bigger subject than just the destruction of ancient Babylon. And now ancient Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, you remember in Daniel's image, bear with me here now, Daniel's image, Daniel chapter 2, he saw the head of gold, this figure, this image of a man, the head of gold, and then the silver and the part, you know, the shoulders and so on, which was the Medo-Persian kingdom, and then we get the brass of the Grecian kingdom, they get the iron and the clay of the Roman kingdom. And so the head of the times of the Gentiles, this time when the Gentiles will be predominant in the earth, when the kingdom was taken away of Israel, that time period starts with Babylon. Okay, and so here Babylon's representative by the Spirit of God of that whole times of the Gentiles. The Lord Jesus was crucified under the Roman part at the end, and we know that there will be a revival of the Roman Empire according to the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation. But here, spiritually speaking, prophetically speaking, in this chapter, Babylon is sort of representative of the whole image. And its destruction in that Daniel, or I'm sorry, that Isaiah prophesied about here in chapter 13, which would occur 175 years later, which now is ancient history for us, that destruction of that ancient Babylon is a forerunner, a prefiguring of the coming day of the Lord, when the Lord will judge the nations at his coming, and when the earth will be brought into judgment, the world will be brought into judgment, and then Israel will be established as a kingdom in the earth. We saw that from chapter 27 of Isaiah. That's the conclusion. But what we want to get a hold of here is that when we read these Old Testament stories and prophecies in the prophets, say, here concerning Babylon, that it just doesn't concern Babylon, okay? Just not that local occurrence, the circumstances of that day, because it's the spirit of prophecy that's involved. And the spirit of prophecy, its testimony is always Jesus, either his sufferings or his coming glorious kingdom. It always looks at that. And I may sound like a broken record here, but if you turn to, and I'm reading it from the Darby translation, from 2 Peter chapter 1, we get the explanation of this. And it's really important to understand this, okay? He says that no prophecy of Scripture, that's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, no prophecy of Scripture is had of its own particular interpretation. For prophecy was not ever uttered by the will of man, but holy men of God who spoke under the power of the Spirit, under the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the prophecies are written through the power of the Holy Spirit. So what Peter is saying here, that the interpretation is not isolated to its own particular circumstance that gave rise to it, but looks way beyond that, because it's a spiritual message. It's a prophetic message. We have to lay a hold of that. Darby's footnote explains it. He says, that is, it is not explained by its own meaning as a human statement. In other words, when Daniel prophesied that Babylon would fall, which would happen 175 years after he prophesied it, that is not the complete fulfillment. Okay, that was fulfilled. The fall of Babylon did happen, but that's not the fulfillment. It's the day of the Lord. It's looking to a fall of a greater Babylon, a greater world system will be brought into judgment that Babylon prefigured. Okay, so it's not by its own particular interpretation. It must be understood by and according to the spirit that uttered it, Darby says. The prophecy is, I take it, the sense of the prophecy, the thing meant by it. Now, this is not gathered by a human interpretation of an isolated passage which has its own meaning and its own solution as if a man had uttered it. For it is part of God's mind uttered by holy man as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So I hope you can understand that. And so when we look at the particulars here, the prophecy, the day of the Lord, verse 9, for example, look at verse 10. For the stars of the heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, and the sun shall be darkened and is going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. You know, the Lord Jesus referred to this in Matthew chapter 24, about these changes in the constellations in the heavens. It's mentioned in Revelation chapter 6. So see, this prophecy goes way beyond the destruction of ancient Babylon. And we get verse 12, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, and a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. He will make men rare in the earth. You know, no, if it was not that those days were shortened, there'd be no flesh saved, the Lord Jesus said. And then verse 13, therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall be removed out of her place. And this is quoted by the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 12. And in reference to the Christian, that we have a kingdom that cannot be moved and cannot be shaken, because God's going to shake the heavens and the earth. It's also quoted from Habakkuk. So just in looking at that, we see that it's not just about the fall of ancient Babylon, but it's the day of the Lord that's coming. That day is coming. It's quickly coming. May our eyes be upon the morning star, our hope, the rapture, the coming of the Lord Jesus for his church. May these little hints help you in the study of prophecy. Amen.